Donovan and Fleetwood Mac, Liv in Boomtown. I'm Jeff, along with our feng shui diva, Robin Butter Bentley, and our very special guest, Marietta McCarty, author of, several books, including a brand new one. It's Leaving 1203, Emptying House, Filling Heart. Hello.
Hello.
Before we get into subject matter, let's learn a little about you.
Yes, well, Richmond feels like home. Driving from Charlottesville this morning with the sun in my eyes, it just was a great feeling to come back to Richmond. So I've lived in Charlottesville since graduate school, but I grew up in Richmond played tennis in Richmond, enjoyed all sports in Richmond. And
you were actually part of tennis history in Richmond.
Yes, in 1963, as a child, and I include finding the tennis racket and ball involved in this event in my book, I didn't fully understand what was happening, but I knew that the season-ending tournament at Bird Park for the state championship, I was not top-seeded, and I was sort of used to that in my hometown, and I did not know the name of the person that I would be playing against, and everybody was a little uptight that whole week and worried about schedules and when matches would be played. And when we got to the courts, my mother and I couldn't find a place to park on the boulevard. There was no parking. I'd never seen that before. The stands.
They were there to see you,
people.
Right?
Well, not a yes and no. So, what I remember very vividly, this was also the day that the man who taught me to play tennis died. So, that's Sam Woods, who taught three generations of Richmond tennis players, and I knew that. I was very emotional about it and got to the courts and realized when I looked at the stands that are still there at Bird Park that I was, the stands were literally half black, half white, and I was playing in the first interracial match in the history of the courts at Bird Park, something that Arthur Ashe couldn't do. My opponent was Bonnie Logan. And I lost 6-4, 7-5. It's the best match I ever played. She went on to the big time. She went on to the show, the U.S. Open, Australian, Wimbledon. She did it all. And she was absolutely lovely that day.
You also sat on a rather historic piano.
Yes, I did. I think it was at the old Tantilla. And I'm not sure about that.
I haven't heard that in a while.
I know it. Or it could have been the mosque. But Fats Domino was playing, and he motioned to me, this would have been in high school, to come on over and have a seat next to him on the piano, you know, the days of Blueberry Hill and all that sort of thing. And it was just amazing. He was wonderful and engaging and fun. And my friends were very jealous, and that was the most important part.
And years later, you realized, oh, my God.
Yes.
I sat on a piano played by Fats Domino.
That's right.
Let's get to the book. And Robin has expertise in something that is related to the subject matter of the book. So why don't you sort of take it from here, Feng Shui Diva?
Well, I know you went through your parents' home, and you had the home for about 56 years.
That's right.
So it would have been very emotional for you.
Well, yes, it was, Robin and Jeff. Four generations had loved that simple Cape Cod three-bedroom house on a hill out in the University Heights area. It was just a beloved home. And I had dreaded this responsibility.
I think everybody anticipated. That's anticipatory anxiety about that.
Mm-hmm. Because only one thing can force this job on you.
Right.
And so very early on, and coming back and forth from Charlottesville, it took me a total of 3 months. And very early on, though, the job shifted from a job and a responsibility to something that I felt was an opportunity and a privilege, because I found so much that I didn't know about my family, my father's messenger bag from the Second World War.
Wow.
Short stories my grandmother had written during the Depression. I don't know how she felt the time to do that. Songs my mother wrote that I think are ready for this show. And so I knew better the people that I thought I knew best and loved the most. And so there was a very joyful spirit in the house as it was emptied, people coming to help, bringing food. So this sort of liveliness of the house remained throughout the 3 months of home emptying.
I would have found, or just thinking about it, my parents are alive, you know, going through their things when they pass, it just seems like it would just be such a sad thing, and yet you found joy in it.
It was a hard won joy. That's for sure. Hard won.
So there was a point where you entered and there was a sadness and a depression, and somehow you eventually found joy from that. We will discover how you did that, but I want to play a song for you right now.
Oh, boy.
By Betty Wright. It's called Clean Up Woman. Boomtown Richmond. Boomtown Richmond. On a Boomer Wednesday with our very special guest, Marietta McCarty. And you've written several books, but
yes.
The brand new one is 1203, Emptying a Home. No, excuse me. Leaving 1203. It's about emptying a home and yet filling your heart.
Yes.
And you wanted to address...
Yes, when you were talking about sadness in finding my father's draft orders for the Second World War, for example, 3 weeks after he graduated from Washington and Lee, I think that there was something profound for me about having objects, items, letters that had to speak for themselves. There was no one there to explain them. And so they took on this really powerful life for me. So my father didn't talk about combat. And so I learned about the Second World War from his messenger bag and his college blue book exams and that sort of thing, and telegrams back and forth to my not yet mother at the time. So it was a very intimate way to get to know about that, or my grandmother, long before she was my grandmother, raising two girls during the Depression.
Actually, and had finding, a life of her own. Yeah.
Oh, they were all so happy without me.
People.
That's what I couldn't figure out, was in all these happy photographs pre-me. How could that possibly have happened? So, yes.
Just more love.
Yes. So that's how I left the home. It felt lived in when it was empty the last day that I left. And I found myself, I think it was just the best paying, most rewarding thing I've ever done. I was so refreshed in what really matters most in life: relationship, hospitality, simple living, simple joys.
But there is, it tells a story of family and love,
yes.
But there is sort of a self-help section for people like me that have no idea how to get rid of all this stuff so my kids don't have to go through it.
Yes,
and that's the primer at the back.
Yes, there is. And I wouldn't have known any of that. I learned it through the experience. I wish I'd had this book, Leaving 1203, when I left 1203. And so it's things that I learned in doing it that I think would be helpful to anyone leaving any home that you love for any reason. I think it'd be very helpful. And the reader finds out in Leaving 1203 in the last chapter, entitled 1203 Now, what I did with everything in the house, which I'll just tell you, that was the joy for me. I wasn't sure after family had taken what they wanted. I still had a full house. Well, now what? And then as I tiptoed into it, what I realized, I gave everything away. So I have former philosophy students who didn't have registries. They got their first China pattern and furniture from 1203. And so I managed, I know I've got 250 places I can go home now.
So these are in other people's houses where there is love still exists.
Yes, new life. And
did you keep anything? Just, you know, just
oh, for sure.
Of all the things there, you know, you just couldn't give away.
I've got my three baseball bats from my effort to become a Major League Baseball player. That's how I got into tennis. My father told me that I probably would not be able to follow that career path. And there are pieces of furniture I've never known the world without, brass candlesticks. So I lived in Richmond with my mother for her last year, and she told me what she would like to see in my home. And so those things are certainly there. The messenger bag is with me. The short stories are with me. My grandmother's longest short story is 20,000 more words than my book, Leaving 1203. So she had a lot of energy during those years. So, yes, I kept all the photographs, that sort of thing.
Can you tell us about the event you have coming up on December the 1st?
Yes, I get to come home again on December 1st, and I will be at Puck's Market, and they're going to have food from 1203 and
not the old food that was still there.
No. Okay, it's going to be my mother's potato salad, newly done.
Make that clear.
And so the event is 7 to 9, and Puck's Market is in the Tuckahoe Shopping Center where I walked to my first job at age 16. It was in retail, and I remember those were the days of McMullen blouses that girls wore, and I rung up my first sale very proudly, and the store manager said, "You're going to be really good for business." And I wondered, and I looked. Well, I'd rung it up for $1,000 instead of $10. So I thought, this is not going to be the career for me. So writing turned out to work really well. I, however, would like to be a disc jockey for Boomtown.
Well,
if you have any job openings.
Well, we can work something out if you can clean my house for me. Now, this is it's a very easy read, but it triggered certain emotions in me that were very specific but very relatable. You know, the things that you went through. I know that I'm going to go through, and there was is a lot of. Very easy to read, but there were things that when I stopped reading, I started thinking about. And
that was my hope. My hope was that though I'm taking the reader to 1203 and those memories, it's to take every reader home wherever that home may be. And I've experienced that with the book, that when I'm speaking to an audience, I can see about 10 minutes in, they're with me, and they're also back home, wherever home is.
This is about as relatable to all of our lives.
It's the universal topic.
Okay. Now, where would one... I know, you know, you're selling these things, right?
Right.
Okay, well, how do we get them?
Well, Amazon has them, and on Kindle. Bookstores have them. You can get them through my website. Signed copies there, MariettaMcCarty.com. So anywhere you'd get any other really swell book, you can get Leaving 1203.
And we've got it on our Facebook page as well.
Great.
And so you want to be a DJ, huh?
Yes.
Okay. I've got a song for you. You know what it is.
I do.
Okay. Three women from Detroit.
Yes.
So what I want you to do is introduce it and end with On Boomtown Richmond. So,
all right.
All right. So you want me to count you down?
No, I'm ready.
All right.
So, as a gift, my brother took me to the mosque, and I think it was in maybe 68, I want to say, and there were these three women rocking the house, and the dances they were doing and the introductions to the song, the crowd was absolutely wild. We were in the balcony. I thought I was going to jump off, and so I would say come see about me right here at Boomtown Richmond.
The Supremes, you mean?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Not bad. That's your first edition.
I've got a chance?
Oh, well, yeah, especially if you'll do it for free.